Welcome to the podcast of Trinity Church London. You're listening to a message given on a Sunday morning. If you'd like to know more about us and the life of the church, please visit trinitychurchlondon.com.
Trinity Church London started some 6 years ago now. And I can speak for Tora and I that the last 6 years have been an absolute delight when it comes to Trinity Church. And we love this church. And we love you guys who are in the church as well. There are so many occasions when we shut the door on people and we say goodbye to them and we kind of like look at each other and just think, God's amazing. Like, God's doing an amazing thing. And like, the people who are in the church, the gifts, the passion and what God's doing here. And we love what God is doing. I think this is the best church in London. I have to say that. I know the pastor down the road thinks that their church is the best, but I know what, you know. God's doing a really precious thing here, I think. And there is a beauty in what God is doing amongst us, I think, in what he's building. Sometimes it feels quite fragile, but I think there is something quite precious and quite beautiful in what God is forming in us and because of us as a community. One of the prophetic words we received a few times from different people when we first started, that there would be a long season of building deep foundations in the church, and that there would be, like with any building that's going to go tall and large, there has to be deep foundations, and that we would go through a period of building deep foundations. And there is a sense, I think, amongst us that the foundation laying stage has come to an end. And that we are in a stage now of actually seeing something erected above ground that we can see that will be glorious unto the Lord. Not for our fame and name, but for the fame of Jesus Christ, amen. And what God is building with us here is a very special temple in the heart of London. And today what I want to do is really, I want to talk theologically about who we are, and then we're going to look back practically at some of the things that Jesus has done, and then we're going to look forward as to what it's going to mean for us to be involved in what Jesus is doing as we go forward. Our strapline, the very reason we exist, and we hope this sentence is in your heart, is here to see the glory of God known across London and the nations. It's about God for us. That our heart is that the disciples who are at Trinity Church London are first and foremost about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we care first and foremost about him. Whether we live in mountaintop days where everything is going well, or whether we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will choose to declare that God is good and glorious and to be praised. Whether things are going our way, we will say, to God be the glory. And whether things are not going our way, we will say, to God be the glory. That the disciples who are at Trinity Church London would be like Job, who even when he had everything stripped away from him, he said, naked I came into this world and naked I will return to the dust, and yet blessed be the name of the Lord. To the one who gives and takes away, blessed be his name. Because our passion and our heart is to be about God. And this is not for us a unique thing. We are wanting just to simply sync up with the very story that we are living in. The story behind every individual and every family and city and nation. The story behind it all is this story of God who is making himself known and is seeing his glory known. That before there was Genesis 1 and the Bible was even written, before any human existed, God existed by himself, and he wasn't lonely. He didn't create us because he wanted something to do as a hobby. He created us out of a full sufficiency and overflowing joy that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit could have existed forever and eternity and be perfectly happy and content. And yet, because God is love, he chooses to expand and spread the knowledge of his glory beyond himself, which is why he creates a universe. We're told in Psalm 19, one of my favorite verses, I probably quote it more than any other, the heavens declare the glory of God. Not the glory of stars and physics and galaxies. They are glorious. But God creates the universe to put His glory on display because He desires that we know Him, that we orbit Him, that we enjoy Him. Because in the knowledge of God, there is fullness of life, we're told. And yet the problem is for us, we have a number of problems, but there's at least two. One of our problems is that we live, all of us, with main character syndrome. That we basically, we don't say it, we accuse other people of having that, but we all actually basically walk around life thinking that I am the main character in my own film that I am starring in. And everyone else I sit with on the tube are the bit parts in my story. So get out the way, I'm about myself. We never say it like that, but basically we believe everything orbits around us. And even God. And it's possible for Christians even to live like that. That basically I'm living my life, I've got my plans and my prayers, and God is there, sure, but He is there to help me get the best version of my life that I want, with everything lining up exactly how I plan it, my 5-year, 10-year, 15-year plan. Like we're the main character. God didn't create the universe to step to one side and say, sure, whatever. No, God creates the universe and puts His glory on display so that He could be enthroned at the center of all things, so that humanity might have fullness of joy. The only being who can play the main character is God Himself, who created, who sustains, and will one day be glorified as the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods. It is He who we are about. And so every time we do start to play the main character in our own story, everything does actually fall apart. We lose a sense of peace. There is a dissonance that's created in our hearts. There is a lack of joy. Things are out of kilter because we are made to orbit God. God and humanity are not made to orbit us. We find peace in this world by stepping to one side and seeing the Lord. And the second problem we have is that we have an enemy. And our enemy is blinding the minds of unbelievers, we're told in 2 Corinthians 4:4, to keep us from seeing the glory of the gospel of Christ. The number one thing that Satan wants to do is to stop us from seeing how good God is. And yet God is too kind and too generous to leave us in the dark. And so what does He do? From the beginning of the scriptures, and we're not going to do a Genesis to Revelation study today, you'll be pleased to know, He creates places and moments where the splendor of His glory can be known. Firstly, in individual moments, and then He creates the first temple out of fabric in a small tent in the Middle East, where He says and promises, I am going to dwell in this tent so that you can come and know Me and peace and life can be restored and you can enjoy Me. And what happens is when this tent is built, Moses prays, and this is what happens in this first temple. The cloud that was covering the tent of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle and the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day that it was taken up. So they followed the presence of God in this tent. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, and in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So God sets up this one place on the earth where His presence will dwell. And then we know that later God institutes a physical temple, not made out of fabric, but made out of stones. And when Solomon prays a dedication moment, what happens is the presence of God rushes into the temple. And His presence fills the temple so thickly and so densely that the priests who were there couldn't even stand. And are there with God filling with Shekinah glory so that the nations would come to know Him. But we know that that isn't the last temple. They are just preliminary hint-like trailers for the real thing. who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he comes in the flesh, John says, the Word became flesh and we have seen his glory. Why? Because God has always wanted a place on earth that people can see his glory and be restored to life. That he is doing something in places. And first, when Christ comes, he comes with this very unique calling to be the first stone of a new type of temple that is not made out of fabric and not made out of stone, but made out of men and women filled with the Spirit of God. So that even today, in the Coin Street neighborhood center, we can experience the kind of glory that even Moses had, because we're told that the latter glory is greater than the former glory. That there is an improvement on the type of presence that God chooses to dwell with, because not now in just a fabric or in stones, but through us, living flesh. Which is what brings us to Ephesians chapter 2 and Paul's vision of church life. And it's amazing. Paul conceives church not just as a place where you come to learn some of the Bible. That's a good thing to do. It's not a place where you come to meet your friends. That's a good thing to do. It's not even a place where you come to get your spiritual needs met. That's a good thing to do. Come and get prayed for. Paul has this amazing vision of church that goes way beyond the me and the you and becomes this glorious us, that when we gather together, we display something of the temple of God where his presence dwells. Because he says this in verse 19 of this passage that Mandy read for us, so you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself the cornerstone, the first of the bricks to be built in this living temple, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a temple, a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together, and check this, into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. I mean, it's the promise is that when we gather together like this, Jesus says, I am going to dwell, my presence is going to be with you. There is going to be a special blessing of my presence amongst you that cannot happen by going solo as a Christian. That the glory of God is with us in this moment. That the promises of God in the scripture are fulfilled in a particularly thick fashion when Christians gather together. It's an awesome thing. I don't know if you ever like wondered, because we're told that we ourselves, we are the presence of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us, in our flesh. God dwells in me. It's an outrageous thing to say. And I hope you hear how outrageous it is. The Creator God, by his Spirit, lives in my body. And he lives in your body. And when we come together, we're told that a temple is being built so that London might come to know the glory of God. This is way more than just you and me. Pete shared this morning in the prayer meeting, just this reminder, even not knowing what was going to happen in the sermon, that so many of the yous in the New Testament that we read individually as like you singular, you do this, you do this, you are this, you this, and we think me and Jesus, hallelujah. But almost always the yous in the New Testament are you plural to you lot, you guys. It's us together, that we cannot do this templing by ourselves, that it is a uniting together of brother and sister into these living stones until we become this glorious temple that people look at us. What is that that is happening in that community over there? And one of the things that, as I was reading this week, is that really struck me, and I guess I've been living with, and my hope and my prayer as we talk about some practicals in a minute, is that in verse 22, Paul doesn't say, in him you are building a temple. Because, you know, your workplace, they pay you to come to work, and they're paying you to contribute your skills, your time, your expertise, your experience. And we might think, well, church is a bit like that. You know, like we've got rotas, we've got things to do. And so like church is calling us to contribute something. Like, could you give some of your time? Would you give some of your money? Would you, you know, give some of your skills and experience? We need some help with this. And so this idea that we can build the church. But Paul doesn't say that in him you are building. He says, in him, you also are being built together. I've just been meditating on this week. You are being built together. So it's not that I stand outside of another entity that is called Trinity Church London and I give of my money and I give of my prayers and I give of my time and I see this thing develop and build up. It's that Jesus Christ is taking me, a believer and a follower in him, someone who is now indwelt by the Spirit, and he is building me into this temple so that I myself, with all of my gifts and all of my flaws, with all of my holiness and with all of my sin, are being built into a temple with other believers who are being taken by Jesus and being built into this glorious thing that is becoming the church. It goes way beyond just giving something back to this other entity. It's us becoming something, which is why it's to be called a holy temple unto the Lord. Am I making sense? It's a totally different thing. And I know it's simple, but I was thinking, wow, I mean, it's an amazing thing. And I think it's also why the call on us is a very vulnerable thing, because it's easier to stand on the outside, right, and say, I'll give you this, I'll give you this, I'll give you this, but I'm going to keep my heart. I think sometimes in churches can be sometimes the places where we can get hurt the most, because there is something that Jesus is not just, we're not just tipping God and contribute, we are actually being built into something so that it encapsulates all of us. It's my whole identity. I am becoming a temple with my brothers and sisters, that there is something in me that is being added. It's not just what I can give, it's myself, which means there is a rawness that has to be given and an openness and a vulnerability that has to happen if we're going to be built together into this temple. And my hope and my prayer, as we talk about some of the things that Jesus has done with us and things we're looking to in the future, is that you wouldn't just hear, hey, would you give a few more bits and pieces of your time and your money and get this in your diary, etc., but that Jesus would actually move in your heart and you would sense, I'm actually being joined together with these brothers and sisters. There's something softens in your heart and you recognize, I'm joined here. I'm even praying and hoping that some of you who think that you're passing through London on your way to somewhere else, Jesus might even speak to you and you might even sense him saying, no, you are to be joined here for a longer season than you expected. And that Jesus is actually joining you into what he's doing here. Amen. In him, you're being built into a dwelling place for God. It's a very exciting thing. Jesus said that the promise, I will build my church. We build with him, but Jesus is building. And over this last year, I think we can see some things that Jesus has been doing amongst us. We've been praying since the start and even before the start of the church for many things. And I think in the last year, we've begun to see some of the answers to our prayers and we've taken some deeper steps into God. And so I want to share five things I think that Jesus has done in our last year. And then I think it's five or it might be six things of what it means to be built into this holy temple as we go forward. So five things that I think we can see that Jesus has done with us. The first is this: Jesus has taken us deeper in our Sunday worship. And I think we've seen a development in our togetherness and in the beauty and even the unity of our corporate sung worship. I don't know about you, but very often it gets to a Saturday night and Sunday morning and I feel like I'm gasping for that moment of that first song. I mean, I'm lucky I get here early. You can be lucky and get here early as well. I get to hear the band worship, and I love it because it just readies my heart and softens. And I need those moments. Sometimes I feel like in the songs, I'm just, these deep breaths again are like being with the people of God in worship. But there is, I think, a new depth that Jesus has taken to us, and a new understanding that it is us together. That I even like the way that the band, we didn't plan it like this, but the band have even slightly moved to one side, which I think is just simple but profound, because it's saying we're not looking to a band to take us to Jesus. We're looking to Jesus to look to Jesus. The Spirit takes us there, and the band just stepping to one side just made this beautiful, and leading us into this fullness of worship, and having people contributing, brothers and sisters bringing lessons and revelations and tongues and interpretation. And there is a deepness that God has taken us into that we want to continue to walk in. The second thing I think Jesus done is he's developed our leadership capacity as a church. And it's been something in the background we've been living with. And it's a joy now on a Tuesday morning that there used to be three of us, me, Hilly and Toria, and we used to Zoom with Charles, and we still do Zoom with Charles, which is always quite fun. Have you ever seen The Apprentice and Alan Sugar pops up on your screen and you, and then there's the three? It's a bit like that. Charles hates it when I say that, but anyway, it's quite fun. But we've gone from three people in our home to sometimes eight people in our home with Charles zooming in. And it's been this glorious thing that's happened with people giving over their time. And even like Hannah has been rearranging her work life, and Liz comes over from Bromley, and Stephen's been with us, and Roshan lives with us, but he gives up his time anyway to be with us on a Tuesday morning. And Marcio is leading this new integration team that is helping develop our life pastorally as a church and connecting one another. And it's just been a joy to see, and just to see the team taking things on. And we're trusting God that that will develop and grow as we move forward, because we think the needs of the church are only gonna grow in 2025. So we need to see that move. Thirdly, Jesus has taken us into the nations in such a deeply organic way. It's been a real joy. We knew we were going to be involved in the nations, but we didn't want just to be kind of plucking nations out of the air and thinking, let's just help there. We wanted something to feel real to us and to emerge from us to the nations. And we've seen, like last week, we got to send Matt to Penang. Or like, what a joy. And we've been able to serve the Tamingas in supporting them, and we still do financially support them as they are landing and starting a church, starting in March, Cornerstone Church, Penang. We are getting to support Pete and Liz and their work, which I think is going to, already is taking them in training others, and people are looking to these guys, and they'll be able to take others out. And we're hoping, we've even developing budget lines to help people go out with these guys, because Jesus sent people two by two, and we want to send Pete and Liz with others as well, because we know that if you can go to a context and see Jesus at work, you will be transformed in your discipleship here back in London. So we want to send them as well. We're linked now with Australia, which is a surprising thing, because you know Kiki and I went this year, and last year there's a chance we may be going next year, and it's a glorious place to be called to, I have to be honest. The one problem is, it's on the other side of the world. Why couldn't it be closer? Probably everyone would emigrate to Sydney. That's the problem. But anyway, it's surprising that even Jesus spoke about after these invites to go out. And so there is this growing connection with Australia. And Mike and Lynn, who lead the church out there, they sent a picture of Manish and Meryl having dinner on Friday, I think it was. And Manish and Meryl are asking us to pray because they're looking at jobs and accommodation in the northern beaches where the church is situated, which happens to be the best place in Sydney to live as well. So we want to pray for a really good job, a really well-paid job, so that they can settle there and bless that church, because we believe they're going to be an enormous blessing to Grace City Church, Sydney. There are other things happening. Marcia and Carol are supporting a pastor in Brazil, Cristiano, and we've been able to support him in getting to some conferences. You haven't met him. I got the privilege of meeting him in Dubai. He is so grateful to Trinity Church London. If you met him, he would give you the largest hug, because Trinity is in his heart. You may not even know about Pastor Cristiano, but he is starting a church in one of the poorest areas in São Luís. Yes, I probably said that wrong. Ask Carol later. Anyway, Jesus has taken us to the nations. Fourthly, I think Jesus has developed our faith. We made a small tweak with our prayer and fasting days, and we have seen our numbers of those actually engaged in praying together almost double on a prayer and fasting day, which is a great joy. But it's not just that. I think there has been a growing earnestness in our faith. I think there has been a sense, we have been a church up to this point where there's been a bit of like, will we survive type attitude. And if you lived with Trinity through those COVID days, you'll remember those. Like, there were genuinely some months I was like, I don't know whether we come out of this at the other end, because I didn't know what Jesus was going to do. Who knows? But here we are, and I think we're moving out of a survival mode, and there is a sense of growing determination and faith that Jesus would use us to do great things in London, that there would be fruit born from this church that generations could look back on. I was so heartened on Tuesday, because every Tuesday we have a discussion and we pray, and I had to nip out of the living room where we were praying, and I came back and I thought maybe they've wrapped things up and they're moving and chatting, because I heard some voices, and I thought, but what I came back into in the living room was everyone in the most earnest and sincere and devoted prayer. And I shouldn't be amazed, but I was just so thrilled. And I just stood there. I was proud. I was like, these are my people. They are praying their heart out. And it's like, it's not like, okay, fine, like we were wrapping things up, Daniel had to leave. Like, no, they were deeper in prayer than when I'd left. I thought, this is a new type of prayer of earnestness, so that not like Jesus, would it be a good Sunday? It's like, would your kingdom come and your will be done here in London as it is in heaven? And I just want to fan into flame this new passion and new faith and new seriousness for the kingdom of God to come. Amen? Amen. Amen. And the fifth thing that God has done is that he has blessed us last year with our finance. Hallelujah. And on this point, I defer to my elder. And I'm actually going to hand over to Charles to actually give a fuller update on exactly what's happened with our finances, because it's good, and Charles is going to fill you in. So, Charles, round of applause for Charles, everybody.
So I get the exciting bit about money. What I'm going to do is give you an update on where our money comes from, and what we do with it. And then just a few pointers about why we think it's important. So if I can have the first slide, please. So this is our expenditure. This is where our money goes. So if I explain them briefly, hopefully you can see the figures. I'll come to ministry at the end. The meeting costs one is £45,000 a year. It's a huge amount of money that we spend to be here and to pray, just so you know that. Outreach, £5,000 is all our communications, all the money we spend on reaching out. I think we'd look to see that increase. We try and give away 10% of what we receive. We didn't achieve that last year. We gave away £16,000. This isn't including special offerings. I'll come back to those. This is routine monthly income. So we want to see that increase. And the admin is, we pay a bookkeeper, there are various things we have to comply with the law, 13,000. And then the biggest chunk, obviously, is ministry. That covers salaries, national insurance and pensions, costs of sending people to conferences, some pastoral work, and so on. So that was our expenditure last year. Our year goes from September to September, 1st of September to end of August. I'll take questions at the end if you want to ask me any. Equally, if you can always come and ask me afterwards. Or I should have said, I'm doing this on behalf of the trustees who do all the hard work on this, which is Jackie, Daniel, Jess, and Chris. So I'm just taking the flak on this one for you. So, income, please. So this is our income last year. The great majority, and this is where we want to say an enormous thank you. For the amazing giving of this church. 187,500 last year is incredible. Thank you.
Amen.
So much. Daniel wants to thank you particularly, else he'd be starving. my chance to get my own way. It is amazing. Of course, our biggest giver to the church is a lady called Rachel Reeves, the Chancellor, who very kindly gives us 34,000 as a tax rebate. So if you do pay tax and you haven't signed up for Gift Aid with us, please do, because she wants to give us more money. And if you do that, she will. And then we had a little bit of giving externally. And then the last slide, please, the summary. So therefore, income was 227, expenditure 201, surplus 26. That is the first time we've had a surplus.
Whee!
Yeah, absolutely. The background to all of this is this church started with the amazing generosity of our friends in Regions Beyond, who raised a quarter of a million, £250,000, most of which was given to us to get us going, most of which we spent. Mm. We have only 64,000 left. But that's why it was quite important we got to a surplus. Yeah. Otherwise, we would have had a fairly major problem. The designated reserves are things that are committed to things that we can't change. So we have a reserve of 64. We do need most of that because we have to keep a certain minimum level so that we can pay salaries and everything else. You will notice our budget for this year coming up is bigger than our expenditure last year or income. We've put a budget of 240,000. We always do a proper budgeting process, so everything is allocated. It's gone up because of our involvement in mission, and also because of the more stuff we want to be doing here, because we've got an intern and things like that. These all add on. So our budget this year is 240,000. We are running 10% below that at the moment, just so you know. Mm. So then we had a surplus last year. That doesn't mean to say we're there yet. Mm. We are running 10% below. I suspect, and I'll just touch on this one here, one of the reasons for that is we do special offerings occasionally, which are opportunities to give sacrificially on top of our normal giving for gospel events, for planting churches. We did a wonderful one before Christmas for the homeless in London. I think there's been a slight tendency, perhaps sometimes, for us to give to the special offering and give less to the church. Back to the point about Daniel eating, please don't do that. We do need to know a consistency of income, and our special offerings are on top of that. Does any brave person want to ask a question? You don't have to. As I say, you can ask me afterwards. Okay, let me just wrap up with a comment about giving. Sorry, was that a question? No. Let me just make a comment about giving. I think as elders, we feel some big responsibilities. Our first responsibility is to be the best examples we can be to you all, as followers of Jesus, passionate about him, living, filled with his spirit. I think probably one of our second is to pray. We do spend quite a lot of time praying for the church, for you. But then probably one of our other big ones is to do what we can to be good disciples and to disciple each other. You may only be here for 6 months, you may be here for years. Our passion is that as and when you move on, you've grown in God.
Yes.
And one of our key values is generosity. Because generous hearts are key to walking with Jesus. And I'm just going to give you a few quick reasons. I'm not going to preach any of them. You would please know, I want you to go and look them up and think about them. So why does this generosity matter, particularly in giving? Well, first of all, it's worship. Mm. We have a great time on Sunday singing songs like I Surrender All. Mm. Okay? And what happens to our wallet on Monday? I don't know, but that's the reality, isn't it? We can sing it as loud as we want, but there's got to be follow through. So giving and generosity is worship to Jesus.
Amen.
Secondly, it's spiritual warfare. We live in a city dominated by a demonic force called mammon. You only have to look around to see how that influence on people wrecks their family lives, their relationships, themselves. And this drive to either I haven't got enough, I can't survive, or this drive to I need more because I always need more. And it's an idol. It's a spiritual force. The way to break it, and we're influenced by it. The way to break it is sacrificial giving, I'd say, from our own lives. giving more than you can afford breaks a spirit of mammon, which is trying to distort and ruin your lives and mine. So that's the second reason. The third reason is one we can draw from that great quote from Gladiator. What we do on earth today echoes in heaven.
Yes.
I don't think we understand heaven nearly enough. Jesus kept saying, if you give on earth, you're investing in heaven.
Amen.
So we give temporary stuff like money now, so we have eternal stuff that lasts forever. That sounds like a pretty good deal.
Amen.
So a financial capital, doesn't it? And yet I think probably we sort of have such a vague idea of heaven. The idea that somehow things could be different for each of us in heaven, it's a bit radical. So we don't want you to miss out. We don't want you to miss out on an opportunity of putting treasure in heaven. And lastly, as we all know in 2 Corinthians 9, God promises blessings we give. It's not necessarily financial, primarily. To be honest, financial isn't the most important. I can tell you what is, as I got to my age, it's health and it's relationships. And then finance comes behind that. But he promises to bless us as we give. So we don't want you to miss out. So the reason we will talk about money, and we do sometimes, Jesus did an awful lot, is because we want to see ourselves and yourselves discipled into Jesus with heavenly rewards, with spiritual forces broken, worshipping gloriously and being blessed. Okay, back to you.
Amen. I just also want to say something about Charles and Nikki and Anna. Anna, it's you. I just want to say publicly, I want to say a massive thank you to the glasses, because, I walk around most of my days so grateful for Charles and Nikki and that God has given them to this church, because what Charles does behind the scenes in helping me look good, and like I actually know what I might look like, but I know what I'm doing, it's a tough job, is unbelievable. And the wisdom and the experience, and with all the tension and difficulty they live with, what they've done in the background to make Trinity as healthy and as stable and as functioning as it is incalculable. So I'm very personally very grateful to you guys. So thank you. So how could you be built? The good news is today my watch has stopped working, so there you go. How could you be built into the life of Trinity Church? Don't worry, unfortunately there is a clock up there. I want to say a few very practical things. And if you've been on the intro course, what is now called the Discover Trinity, what it is to be a member of this church, you will know some of these things. But I just want to talk about them. In a minute, I'm going to ask a few people to come up. But there are a few things of what it actually looks like to be built into this temple. The first, very simply, is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to him. Because we're told that in 1 Peter that when we come to Jesus, we actually, through that process, get built into a living temple. So my invitation to you, first and foremost, I don't take it for granted that you're a Christian here today. If you're not, we are so glad that you're here. If you're, I'm not sure, there is a moment, an invitation to come to Christ, and you can be part of the temple that God is building here on earth. That's the first thing. The second thing is to gather with the brothers and sisters. In Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit filled God's people, what they did was they devoted themselves, we're told, to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, which is probably something to do with them, their gatherings to pray. That they devoted themselves to being with the fellowship of believers and with them in prayer. And one of the simple but profound ways that you can be part of this temple is by simply gathering with the church. And that means a few things. It means coming on a Sunday. It means gathering to pray. It also means gathering at community groups, which are our midweek groups, which are essentially like mini temple moments where we gather together. The presence of God is with us. As we meet the Christ in each other, we find ourselves encouraged and stirred. Very practically in these evenings, we often eat food together, we worship, we study the scriptures, we pray for one another, we look after one another, we make friends, we develop friendships. And that we have an exciting announcement to make, that we actually have two new groups that are starting. Absolutely. So what I'm going to invite, some people have been teed up. So if you're a community group leader, Toria as well, I haven't told you this, but please could you come down the front as well? Could you come down the front, and could everyone else just give these guys a big round of applause? So if you're a leader. So the very exciting news is we have what London has been waiting for Trinity to start a central community group. And we have the joy of announcing, as of this week, a central community group. So, absolutely. Which actually, this is great. So, going to be led by John and Jackie. So what I'm going to ask these guys to do is I'm going to ask them to give a 30-second pitch as to why their group is the best group. No. Very practically, where, when do you meet? So if you're not in a group, we would love you to be plugged into a group. And these guys are going to share where and when they meet and maybe why their group is good. So there you go. 30 seconds.
Okay, I don't know how to manage that. For some time, we've wanted this central group. We've now found a venue that we think is great, which is 5 minutes walk from Waterloo, 5 minutes from Lambeth North. We are planning to meet there from 7 till 9 p.m. It's got a kitchenette, it has a microwave, so if you need to bring food from home, you're on the way from work, it's going to be great. We are really excited to be leading it. We're expecting to experience the presence of God and to meet together, study the scripture and build community. So this is going to be exciting. We'd love to have a home. We haven't, but this space is great. And we're planning also to use it for the prayer meeting. And we're going to start beginning of February.
And you know who will be keeping John to time. Anyway, we're absolutely delighted, having waited for some time to have a venue. And it's almost like returning home, like coming here. Because one of my first managerial jobs was in a building on Lower Marsh, which is where we'll be meeting, which is near Lambeth North Station, but equally near to get from Waterloo Station. So really exciting to just be able to again be joining with other family members from Trinity midweek.
What day of the week?
Wednesday.
Amen. Darren.
Hi, my name's Darren. My wife is not 100% well, so she's at home, hopefully watching. We meet in Bromley. Now there's quite a lot of Bromley people. Highlights of our group are we have a wide range of ages, which has been really good. We meet on Wednesdays, 8 to 10-ish most weeks, although on the first Wednesday of the month we meet from 7 to 9 for food. It is the best group because we've got the best people.
It was the best group.
Okay, so you might be forgiven thinking of the Battersea Power Station, but the real power station in Battersea is at 7:30, usually at Elias and Albina's, which is very close to the Tube Stop, and that's where the real power emanates. So.
Amen.
Yeah, this is my husband, so the same group. So we are a mix of all ages. We've got students, professionals, singles, couples. So whoever you are welcome. And yeah, we love to get together. We usually play a little game, a little icebreaker, and eat some food together and get to the word, prayer, worship, and take that prayer into the week for each other as well. So come and be a part of our group. We would love to have
you. Amen.
I'm Toria, married to Daniel,
but I don't
wish me
something. Yeah. Yeah, married. We are in Fulham, and we meet every Wednesday.
West is best.
That is actually the name of our group.
Sorry.
Every Wednesday. And I don't know, we've got a real heart to be like a home in the city. When I was at art school many years ago, now in Glasgow, I was quite lonely, and actually the thing that pulled me through was being in homes and mums and dads, so to speak, sort of just keeping me going and loving me and showing me Jesus. And yeah, so that I'm very passionate about that, about creating a home. So it normally involves baking. You don't do much baking, do you? I love baking, so when I can, yeah, we like to feed people and give them a home and encourage them and send them out again. Anything else?
No, sounds good.
No, all good. So Wednesday, actually we say from 6 o'clock, so people can come straight from and just get mucking in. And yes, till 9, we finish 9.
All right, so it's ours. Used to meet in Collierswood, and I just recently learned a lot of people don't know where Collierswood is, but now, from starting this year, we are actually meeting at Phoebe and Heloise. We're going to call it a tooting hub, because it actually gathers, and I've learned there's more people around us that we didn't know, we get, things are changing a little bit, so some people are moving away for maybe a new hub, like Evan Bruno. But yes, we are a great group. We love everyone. He is with us.
Is that your good reason?
And I was going to say we have the best people as well, but we love you all. So if you live near us, we meet on Thursdays, not Wednesdays. It's Thursdays from 7 to 9 as well-ish. And yes, that's it.
Amen.
Good. We meet in Southwest area. We were part of the same community group that did not divide, it multiplied from Atomic Church. And when they left, basically, we were in the same group, and now we are almost in the same area, a little bit more south. So we meet on Fridays from 7 to 9. So we're currently on standby because most of our people that are on our team are either on holidays or in Brazil. So we are about to come back, the plan is to come back this year. And we are 15 minutes, more or less, from Wimbledon, from Epsom, and from Kingston. So if you draw a 15-minute triangle on the map, that's where we are, around Epsom area. So we are the best group because we are the best group. It's really nice. We haven't been, like I was mentioning to Zena, having meetings so often lately for some logistics in many people's families. But we are wanting to come back now, and we meet on Fridays. So
so our group is a brand new group. So I can't tell you anything other than that we will be the best group. And we will be amazing. And so we're meeting on Wednesday night, and the wonderful Abby and Edouard have agreed to allow us to host this, which is amazing.
Yeah.
The plan is 7 till 9, and it's a combination of East and North, East is best. So we're meeting in Islington. So as it's a brand new group, if anyone would like to come, so we can put you on WhatsApp group, come and speak to me at the end. But yeah, it's going to be super exciting starting this Wednesday.
Oh, cool. Amen. Round of applause, everyone. If you haven't noticed, there are some sign-up sheets on the welcome desk. So if you're not part of a group or you'd like to know more, then put your name down on one of the groups and someone will be in touch with you, or speak to Hilly more generally about groups. Okay. I don't have so long, so we would love you to get involved. We would love you to be on mission. What we believe is that if you're in London, you're in London for a reason. And that you may be here because you thought you were studying, or you are studying, we hope, go to lectures. You chose here for your work. You're here for a career. You met someone, so you're in London. But behind that and beyond that, we believe that Jesus has called you to London, and he has used those things for you to be in London. And our heart as a church is that while you are in London, you may live with your whole heart for Jesus, and that you may give him everything. that you don't use this as a time to just dither in between places and think, well, I might be gone in 6 months or a year or even 3 years, so I won't get my feet under the table. But that while you have breath and while you're in London, that you'll worship the Lord Jesus with your whole heart, whether you're here on a Sunday or whether you're at work, whether you are going to the gym or whether you're seeing friends or whether you're by yourself, that you will love the Lord Jesus with your whole heart. And that if you sense a calling from Jesus to go from London, you go with the intentionality of being on mission. Not simply because there's a promotion or a better job or you've met someone. They're all great things. But go knowing that Jesus has called you and you go as a missionary for the kingdom of God. Amen. So the call on us in this year is, while we have breath in our lungs, let us live for Jesus and build a great temple here through Trinity Church London. Amen. Amen. Amen.